Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. Guess what? We're lucky. We have a special guest.
Yes.
The chairman of the board of the Mises Institute and good friend, Lou Rockwell. Lou, great to have you here.
Great to be here, of course, with you,
yes.
Daniel.
Well, you know, in Lake Jackson, you've been in Lake Jackson because there was this event called the Mises Circle. In Lake Jackson, who's going to come to Lake Jackson for a big meeting for the Mises Institute? This is fantastic. You put Lake Jackson on the map.
Everybody's interested in Lake Jackson because that's your hometown. And so we're going to have a good turnout. And we're doing this in conjunction with the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And we're going to talk about Syria and war and peace and many different topics, and we're going to have a good time.
But you have another program that you're going to put together, and it's 35 years since the Mises Institute was started, and
that's right.
I remember it being started. You know, I gave a teeny bit of encouragement and helped a little bit to get it going, and I think what you've done with the Mises Institute is fantastic. But when is this going to happen, and where is it going to happen? And if somebody wants to have a little more interest in your anniversary, where do they go?
Well, Ron, it's going to be October 6th and 7th in New York City, the city of Mises. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to have fantastic speakers. We're going to have you. And of course, you have a lot to do with the founding of the Mises Institute, as did Margaret von Mises, Murray Rothbard, Henry Hazlitt, F.A. Hayek, many, many great men and women.
Right.
But we're going to, on that occasion of our 35th anniversary, talk about Murray Rothbard, his contributions. That's what we're going to concentrate on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, of course, played also a very important part in the Institute.
Well, you know, just recently, of course, the big event has been Syria, the bombing in Syria and what it means. And you know, Daniel's a real expert on foreign policy.
No.
He did it for 12 years with me and for me in Washington. One time I asked him, how'd you ever get organized and get so smart on this? Oh, he says, I was listening to your speeches. How's he become, you know, my researcher and my advisor, really? He's been great. You know, the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. So, and we do want to talk a little bit about Syria. But one point that you have spoken out on that I think is so important is who is it that says Assad has to go? And why does Assad have to go? It seems like a few of us, you know, might not claim he's an angel, but do they, but there's others said that he's worse than Hitler. So where is the truth on this?
Well, I remember Joe Sobern used to say the U.S. is the Hitler of the Month Club. So there's always somebody who's worse than Hitler. But I think it's an interesting point. In my view, Bibi Netanyahu has been calling the longest for Assad to be kicked out and maybe worst unto him. But we have all the neocons in this country too. They hate his guts. Why is that? I always think, you know, just like Saddam Hussein in Iraq, just like Gaddafi in Libya, you have a guy who is a secularist, who's not an Islamicist, in fact, an anti-Islamicist, and he's also pro-Christian. So he's a pro-Christian Arab leader, belonging to a very interesting small sect called the Alawites, who are part Muslim, part Christian. That's a very unusual situation. But so I think those are all reasons he's hated. I've always found him a very interesting guy, not the typical dictator. I don't, whether he qualifies as a dictator is maybe another question. But he was a physician, an ophthalmologist. He'd left Syria, studied in London, had a practice in London, started his family there. And he didn't want to be in politics. And it was only the death of his older brother that led him to come back. And I'm sure he wishes many times he was still an ophthalmologist in London. This has not been a pleasant turn of events for him.
I wonder if he has the experience that I have, because sometimes being in politics, they say, well, you used to be a doctor. But in a way, in my mind, I'm still a doctor that happens to have been, you know, drawn into something else. And maybe he still thinks that way. Who knows?
But certainly he's never done anything to America. Whatever his sins or faults in many other ways, he's never done anything to us. Why is the U.S. now all of a sudden joining the chorus of people who say he must get the Gaddafi treatment and be brutally murdered and his family killed And let's say he's, you know, very nice family, too, yeah. Nice wife and children. They'd like to see them murdered, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, you know, as a candidate, I mean, I can't help but believe the appeal of Trump was that he ran with a fairly anti-war message. We need to get along with Russia. What are we bothering about in Syria? You know, after the bombing this past couple of days, people were putting up his tweets from 2013 where he said, you know, Obama, don't you dare go into Syria without authorization. Don't do it at all. It's a stupid move. It's a dumb move. You know, I keep saying that maybe the body snatchers came for him. I just wonder what happened.
I don't know. Bionic Mosquito, the blogger, said he wondered if Trump woke up with a horse's head in his bed. You know, something happened. He said, it's funny, Trump has turned faster than even Reagan turned, and they didn't need a bullet this time to do it to him. We just have to see, but it's very, very unfortunate. And Syrians have been in a living hell for a very long time. And the U.S., ISIS has already benefited from this. They started new attacks once the Syrian military was weakened by this attack. And I don't know. It seems like the U.S. doesn't really, despite all the propaganda, doesn't really have it in for ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But maybe they're actually helping cause the chaos that empires always love. Empire, well, the Romans talked about divide and conquer, make trouble and control. That's the way empires always work. So the U.S. wants constant trouble. That's why Iraq is like it is, a million people dead. Who cares about that? Afghanistan, it's just sickening. And then next they want to destroy Iran.
Mm-hmm. The usual canard is always, we have to go for national security reasons. And of course, I've heard that already. People who are defending the president, it's national security. And I thought, well, he'll just drop it. They don't tell us the truth, the evidence that you just provided and why they might want to get rid of him. And they just say that it's national security reason. But the main reason was they expanded on a little bit this time because we have to protect the American people against Assad using poison gas against Americans. Wow, when is that? It's a stretch equal to or could be worse than the stretch against Saddam Hussein. Well, all these lies, and still the people want to believe them.
Remember, they were accusing Saddam Hussein he was going to have gigantic balsa planes fitted with poison gas. What, they're going to be running a rubber band? I don't know. We're going to somehow come here from Iraq. You know, they can just say anything, tell any lie.
And the media just simply reports it. You know, Robert Perry, who I admire very much, had a great piece the other day where he pointed out the exact same journalist who was pushing the aluminum tubes story with Iraq is now in charge of their reporting on Syria in this gas attack. I mean, doesn't anybody see there's a problem here, you know? But what I noticed is interesting is there's a huge divide between the mainstream media and places like Twitter, where you kind of are your own media. Mm-hmm. And it's like two different worlds are being reported on. It's bizarre. The mainstream media, this is a great thing. He's saving Syria from this monster. The Twitter world, this is a bunch of lies. It's two realities.
Well, I think there is a lot of opposition. And I think it's possible, as a friend of ours pointed out, if Trump goes to a rally and gets booed, that could have a very good effect. So folks, if you're going to be at a Trump rally, boo him when the subject of foreign policy comes up.
Good advice.
Yeah. No president wants to be booed, and maybe Trump especially doesn't want to be booed.
You know, this idea of where the people stand is the, you know, the young people, so much at the TV that presents to us, they're all Bernie Sanders supporters. And yet, when I go and others go to campuses, all of a sudden we find some young Americans for Liberty supporters who support true liberty. And maybe the numbers are more beneficial to the interventionists, but there's still, the media is not going to report and say, you know, guess what? How many people came out for these support for non-intervention? And yet, I still argue the case, if you present it to young people, why would they want to do it if they just understood a few facts? Why would they invite the killing and then the problems that come from this, paying the bills and all this, and if they understood a little bit of economics, why suck on all this wealth and blow up people? And it makes no sense. And I think young people, you know, aren't locked in with the status quo. They're not working for some military industry that, oh, well, this is, you know, we don't want to ruin the jobs. This sort of thing.
Right. I remember when you last ran for president, unfortunately, had a, not the result we, the country needed. The Pew was doing some tremendous, very in-depth polling of young people. And one of the things they found that the appeal among young people for you had to do not with drugs, although nothing wrong with that, by the way, but as the enemy were saying, but it was your peace, your foreign policy of peace. That is what attracted young people. There's no question that young people don't buy all the arguments that McCain and the rest of the warmongers, hate-filled warmongers, are peddling. So this is a very good sign. I think we
Daniel says we see it too.
On Twitter and and.
Well, I think we also
there's
have
hope.
To, yeah, there is hope, but I think we also have to be honest that things have been made difficult because we see this alliance emerging between the neocons, and it's always been there, but the neocons, the humanitarian interventionists, mm-hmm. and the Democrats who are looking for a way to, first of all, to put Trump in a bad spot, but also very pro-war. So it's sort of made our coalition more difficult, although I would say, and you had something on your blog recently, the silver lining is that it has defined the lines very clearly, and it will probably help the libertarian cause because we're seen as the sole opposition to this warmongering.
Well, let's hope. And I think that I think we shouldn't lose hope. I think there is hope. Young people, I don't believe that a lot of people upon, just like when the whole subject of Obama going to war against Syria caused a huge revolt among the American people. Congress heard it and didn't didn't go along with it. So maybe that will happen this time.
You know, on this issue, sometimes we get way too much bipartisanship. So we see the neocons in the Republican Party going with the Democrats who are much more warmongering than they ever want to admit. And they come together, and it's been said that at the moment, you know, the immediately after this bombing, that it was, it's bringing a lot of people together at the, in the Congress, and they're excited about it. But maybe they haven't heard from the people in 2013 when they were hearing from the people. The people, you know, were speaking out against it. Well, this is unfortunate that we have to go from this program. But Lou, I want to thank you.
Thank you
very much for being in Lake Jackson.
It's an honor.
So it's great. And
thank you very much, Lou.
Thank you, Daniel.
Great to have you here with us.
Yeah. And I want to thank our audience for joining us today for this very special program with Lou Rockwell of the Mises Institute. Please come back to see us soon.